The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, friends, and welcome once again to Afternoons with Mike right here on the Shepherd Radio Network. I've got a guy in the studio that I just met, and he is a doctor, a chiropractic doctor area, Dr. Ben Rawl.
It's great to be here, especially, seeing each other, and it took us a while to get here. It feels like, like they say, the fun is in the journey. You know, we had a journey to get to this point, so it's great to see you meet you.
Just for our listeners' sake, Every email that we would send each other somehow got lost in cyberspace. And we're not really sure what happened, but through hard work, perseverance, we overcame, and here we are today.
It must be that, as sometimes we say in this world, right, the devil didn't want this one to happen. So maybe it's going to be a good show. I'm going to assume it's going to be a good show.
I think it will be. It's going to be an exciting one. I'm holding in my hand a book that you've written called Cooperative Wellness, How to Achieve Wellness and Be Part of the Healthcare Solution. Now, boy, there's a sentence with all sorts of world implications, with healthcare being one of the main topics that we're all hearing in this presidential campaign and over the years with Obamacare coming up and a revolutionary attempt. Well, it wasn't just an attempt. It was just a broad brush coup that changed everything in our world healthcare wise, and it sent insurance companies out the door in busyness and trying to figure out talk about new normal, Ben. That was a crazy day, wasn't it?
I would say unbelievable to many of us, right? Yeah. Maybe a day we never thought we'd saw that would see, and then yet even though I wrote that book a few years ago, even just hearing you describe those times, who would have ever thought
right
we'd be sitting here in these times?
You bring up a good point about that, about the unprecedented times, because I've used that expression so many times to describe this year 2020.
Yeah.
It has been, for most if not all, unprecedented. And yet, as you say that, you're right. I think when we go back to Obamacare and how that revolution of changing the way everything had always been done with insurance, that was probably the first level of that magnitude of change that would be determined, like, this has never happened before. This is unprecedented.
Yeah, and I think what happens, and I know from, the content or the paradigm of this radio, the show, and when the Lord had a lot to say about health and healing, right? I mean, a significant part of his ministry involved healing, right? He cares, he's often referred to as the great physician, right? Mm-hmm. Jehovah Rapha. I mean, there's one of the things that's always been on my heart, and I know we'll get into it today, is we often have looked to man or something else to fix, whether it's our health, whether it's our education, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And what's concerned me is when we separate that responsibility from, us as, be kind of between us and God, if you will. Mm-hmm. And we get people in the middle of that, especially people that maybe have interests that are outside of us actually getting well. It gets complicated and expensive and dangerous. And I think we've seen that. And I really, part of the call, whether it's the book, that's not even the point, but is let us not forget that we were created in his likeness and image, right? Mm-hmm. That who the true physician is, right? And that he is really who should be at the head of our healthcare, right? And so I know that's a bold statement, but I think for all of us, because if we forget that, then where we end up can be very dangerous. And I think we're seeing that.
I think we are too. And I think that we're seeing maybe even things that are changing. I mean, there's a whole nation right now that is waiting and maybe concerned in their waiting about this vaccine that's coming out.
Yeah.
And I think for good reason, because there's a whole bunch. I know I just heard the word about Johnson & Johnson kind of pausing all of their tests and all of their there are so many things that we just don't know.
Mike, I want to just share this with you. I know we have other things we need to talk about, but you bring up this COVID vaccine, and for the listeners. So just this last Friday, I was down in Miami actually at an event called AmpFest. It was American Progress, and it was actually at the Trump Doral golf course area there. And they had a lot of people there. I have a friend that was going to be speaking, and so I had gone down to meet with him. And I happened to have dinner with a woman at this event, sat next to her for about 4 hours. Her name's Dr. Deischer. She's a PhD from Stanford, 30 years, 42 patents, 4 unique scientific discoveries. Very sharp, sharp person. Was actually on the forefront of discovering stem cells in the heart. Okay. And the reason I bring this up for our listeners is this. All of the current COVID vaccines that are being that are in, you know, in the pipeline, I believe 6 or 7 of them, the main forerunners, all of them involve, and again, this is a heavy thing I'm about to tell you, all of them involve the use of aborted fetal tissue.
Wow.
And I'm sitting next to this scientist. I mean, she actually runs a vaccine company. She's not what you hear sometimes like an anti-vaxxer, that, and to each their own. I mean, I'm always a firm believer in choice. Okay, but so she's not out trying to say don't do this. Uh-huh. She's saying, hey, if we're going to be doing that, there's very serious implications, moral, ethical, and physiological when you're using, you know, aborted fetal tissue. And this for a lot of people is really shocking, and it should be. Mm-hmm. Okay, and concerning, especially as a person of faith. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I share that only because this might be the first time somebody might hear this on the radio. Matter of fact, her company, and I'm not promoting her, just we're sharing her company is called Sound Choice. And you can go there and she has all of the all of the cell lines that are used. And it's important that we realize this. And the interesting thing, Mike, is there's alternative ways of going about that. I don't just mean like alternative healthcare. We don't have to do it. We don't have to grow vaccines on aborted fetal tissue cell. Mm-hmm. And so we need to really be careful, right? And I'm all for helping people, of course, as a doctor. But I don't think, you know, the ends doesn't justify the means, mm-hmm. if you will, right? We need to be intelligent.
I tell you that you bring up a point that I think that's the first time that I've heard any mention about that at all myself. So it is, you use the right word. It's shocking.
It is, and you know what, Mike, and I know we got other things we have to get to. As an American, as a consumer of healthcare, you know, we happen to be in a studio that's near to one of my friends. I recently bought a new vehicle, right? Mm-hmm. And thankfully, it's a friend that I trust, and mm-hmm. so that helps us a bit, right? Get to the, and even the way they run their business is very transparent, right? And the kind of best price model, but. I still did some research on what kind of car, what was safe for my family, and you know, the different details. Mm-hmm. Yet oftentimes what I found in healthcare is we don't do our due diligence, right? We just simply say, and then we find out later, and you've heard stories as well as me. I mean, I've been almost in practice for 20 years, man, if I would have known it had this side effect, if I would have known there was, you know, this ingredient, I don't think I would have done that, or I would have certainly gave it significant pause. So as we sit here looking to roll out what they're calling, you know, this warp speed concept, listen, as a healthcare consumer, you should be very concerned about mm-hmm. that. We don't do that with any medications. We don't do that with, and listen, just very logistically, Mike, there's going to be no long-term studies available. We are the experiment.
Right.
I mean, it's just because, just do the math, the time.
Yeah.
We don't know what this will do in a year. We don't know. Matter of fact, they for decades have tried to create coronavirus type vaccines, and they haven't been able to do it for over 20 years because what they find is when they do vaccinate, when you're exposed to what they call the wild type or exposed to it, it actually causes this hyper response that is worse and even deadly.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of unanswered questions. You saw them stop the AstraZeneca studies because of transverse myelitis, which is paralyzation. There was another case they said, I think it's MS that was caused by it. Now the Johnson & Johnson's. We should be very concerned, but I'm going to go one step further and then we'll go on, right?
Wow.
What really is happening here, Mike, is people for the first time are actually seen on kind of the public stage. The process of how vaccines are created. And it's kind of like, you know, the old saying, they're seeing how the sausage is made.
Mm-hmm.
And it's concerning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I'm going to drop another. If you thought the aborted fetal tissue cell is a concern, which it is, this will be equally shocking. There's no vaccine that currently exists on the vaccine schedule that is, you know, provided or mandated in many areas in the United States that has ever, and hear me out here, that has ever been double-blind placebo tested.
Hmm.
Every single vaccine that they tell you or I or our children to get has never been tested against a placebo.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
And of course, a placebo meaning a fake nothing.
Yeah, an inert substance. Yeah. Usually we think the sugar pill or a vaccine would be either a non-vaccine, you know, nothing, or, you know, a saline injection would be a typical one. But often what they do, and this is where it's again concerned, Mike, is the control group will just get a different vaccine. Okay, so that would be, and this is, forgive the metaphor here, but that would be like, you drink whiskey, I drink wine, and then you say, well, they both were equally messed up, you know, or it had no different effect. Mm-hmm. Well, no, the reality is we were both ingesting alcohol.
Right.
Okay, so the reason I bring this up is because the implications of that. We have to do our own research. You have to be your own advocate right now. I think what we've seen, Mike, with censorship that's beginning to happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe not yet in radio, maybe it's occurring, but certainly on the social medias. There was just a thing that came to light, you know, in the news in the last probably 24 hours, mm-hmm. and I've seen censorship on that.
Yep. Facebook and Twitter.
Right.
Really putting the clamps to a major story.
And we have to understand. I mean, the largest lobbying group in the United States, you know, Congress, is Big Pharma. It outspends oil 2-1.
Hmm.
If you don't think that has an implication on laws, regulations, and what you get to see or not see, you're just, I mean, you've been in media and mm-hmm. this world for a long time. You know that,
a long time.
How that works. Yeah, you've seen it, maybe the good, bad, and the ugly. So again, even if this is the only time your listeners get to hear some questions, certainly that would require follow-up for them, you know, to dig into. And I'm happy to share some more resources later that might be helpful to your listeners. But
oh, my goodness. This is
here we
deep
go.
Stuff. Yeah, well, it didn't take long before that roller coaster that was going clickety-clack up the top, and we've just been zinging right through. Boy, there's a lot to chew on there, a lot to digest. If you have just tuned in, I'm talking to Dr. Ben Rawl, who is a chiropractor in the Orlando area. And boy, this discussion is going to be something that we're going to have to think about and learn more about. And yet I wonder, you know, going back just to finish this one thought on something, and we can kick this around here, maybe just change up some of the order of what we were going to be talking about, but it's just so important. I guess the first thought that comes is, what choice do we have? What if this thing is on this high-speed roller coaster process and it's about ready to zoom right down that track? Do we have any, will the American people have any choice than other to be a guinea pig and a vaccine?
I mean, I think, Mike, you ask the question we all should be asking. I think we sit on this precipice. We sit on this kind of this teeter-totter that we the people need to decide. Now, our current administration, right? President Trump seems, as you listen to his language that's been quoted, that he is not going to mandate. That's the language I've seen, mm-hmm. right? Believes there should be a choice in that matter, right? That it would be available to those that want it. That would be what I think all of us as Americans should argue for, which is freedom of choice, medical freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Our founders spoke about this. And so it's important that we have autonomy, body autonomy. It's very critical as Americans, and certainly as believers, okay? We need to understand our God and he created us, and we decide what goes in and what goes out. And Mike, just to go into this vaccine thing for a second, okay, just to use that as this really important example, you are talking about directly injecting genetic material and other adjuvants, aluminum and chemicals and unknown substances, directly into your bloodstream. We as believers in sanctity of human blood, this is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And so not the only way, but I think you say, well, what, almost you didn't say it entirely like this, but what do we do? And I think doing nothing is very dangerous. The old cliche quote, the only thing it takes for evil to win is enough good people to do nothing. And we've seen an erosion of rights and freedoms slowly happening, mm-hmm. right? From mask mandates to, you know, just there's just a plethora of things.
Churches
that are
not being able
churches,
to
meet. I know we look at some guys out there. I know there's some pastors, MacArthur, one of them, that have really made a strong stance and hey, no, we're not going to do that. And I think right next to that, Mike, is are we going to see, and this is an interesting question. So for whatever reason, we fell in line over these decades on childhood vaccination mandates. The thing that's becoming unique now is adult mandates. Now, think about this. And again, we are really going into another thing. But what a huge opportunity for pharma to now have a pipeline of adult mandated vaccines. Mm-hmm. There's talk that a coronavirus vaccine would become much like a flu vaccine where you'd be required to get it annually. So think about this. You start to have, Bill Gates is on, who was a part of this very early on. You saw him a lot. You know, he's quoted sitting there saying, we need to vaccinate the entire world, 7 billion people. That's concerning. We just got to pause. So I guess partly to your question of maybe what do we do or what can we do if it's just kind of coming hard and fast? Obviously, our elected officials matter. People that believe in freedom, people that believe in health freedom, mm-hmm. people that believe, it's not okay to just inject, foreign chemicals mandated inside of our bodies. Mm-hmm. And this does get into, a scriptural or a spiritual conversation, which is, do we believe that God designed us to heal? Do we believe that he gave us, Mike, not to get into it, but we have to, the survival rate right now, we're in Florida, right? So our governor was on, a week or two ago when he mm-hmm. rolled back some of the mandates yep. into yep. phase 3. And he held up the stats right from CDC that puts if you've tested positive for the coronavirus, your chances of dying for that right from the CDC are well below 1%. It's over 99% survival rate.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we miss this story. That is awesome. Listen, Mike, I know we just met, but my goodness, I love life and healing and restoration and all of that. But the story has not been a 99% survival rate. The story has been, right? Yeah. Hide, lock down, live in fear.
Right.
Don't go to church. It's broken my heart. I'm just speaking from my heart here. It's broken my heart largely on the response of the church to this.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible I read says, lay hands on the sick.
Mm-hmm.
Not yeah. stay away.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm getting a little bit, on my high horse, but even as a physician, a faith-based mm-hmm. physician, I say, he's my healer, and we have to be a place to do that. We have some black eyes in the church world, whether it was slavery back in the day and civil rights, where pastors were afraid to address it, mm-hmm. right? And we can't fall prey to that again. Now, counter that, Mike, I have some friends that are over in the European areas, and as a matter of fact, one that was just over in Berlin. They're having massive protests over there. They had over 1 million people come out on a Saturday saying, this isn't okay. The reason I bring up Berlin is obviously they have a history, right? They had something going on in that nation, several decades ago that mm-hmm. they go, this is what happens when we go down that slippery slope of,
yes.
of total, whatever dictatorship, start to say who we decide, who gets to do what, who's right, right?
Yeah. Who's worthy to live.
Who's worthy to live.
Yeah.
And so, now thankfully, and some people might disagree with this, but again, our current administration has brought on a doctor named Scott Atlas, who's a very, he's on the committee with coronavirus, and he's speaking a lot about different approaches, referencing, for example, what happened in Sweden, going more towards the natural herd immunity, right? Where mm-hmm. It kind of has to run its course. And I know that's still for some of us, because we've been so inundated for these last months, it can be kind of a fearful position, but it's also shown to be really fruitful over in Sweden, for example. So I know we got to maybe move on, but get educated. You talked about get educated, understand the ingredients, understand your rights. I'm married to an attorney, so that helps. But, you do have choices. We need to fight for those choices, and we need to support our local, government officials or people that we elect that would lean that way, that believe in medical freedom, that believe mm-hmm. in freedom of choice, that believe in saying sanctity of human life, that believe that much of the things we talked about.
Dr. Ben Rawls, my guest. And this has gone rock and roll right from the beginning, and I knew it would. This guy is very interesting to us all, and what he's sharing, I believe, needs to be heard. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. We'll be right back. We're going to hear from Ben's story, how he came to know the Lord, coming up in just a moment. Don't go away. I'm in the studio today with Dr. Ben Rawl. He's a chiropractor, but boy, I tell you what, you read a lot. You know a lot beyond just the scope of what you're doing in chiropractic. That's clear to me, being I'm not a medically educated observer by any stroke of the imagination, Ben, but I can tell that you're a person that feels deeply about the broader sense of healthcare, not just even the confines of what you do as a chiropractor. What made you want to go, just a quick question, I think.
Yeah.
Made you want to go into chiropractic?
Well, it's a good question. And it is connected. So I think this would make sense. When I was very young, interestingly enough, the story comes from my mom. I was raised traditional, you know, not alternative healthcare necessarily, but we certainly utilize some of those things. But see, even back then, you know, I'm almost 42 years old. Most people didn't use drugs and that even close to how we even do today, mm-hmm. right? So anyway, but I guess I was a very sick baby. My mom had told me I would get, as an infant, as a little guy, I would get strep throat a lot. And so one day she happened to be going to the chiropractor, and he said, hey, and she was talking about me being sick, and he said, hey, I'll take a look at him, you know, see if we can help. And as the story goes, right, I can't attest to it completely because I don't remember it, but my mom says that was the last time I got strep throat. Okay. And so a little bit of an anecdotal story, but I remember growing up with that. And now, as I was growing up, I was a boxer. I was a elite athlete. I was training for the 96 Olympics, actually. That was my whole goal, my whole dream. A little kid from South Dakota, and just loved the sport and was training to do that. Now, you ask, and part of this is, you know, my testimony. So I did, just in real simple terms, I was at a Young Life camp in Minnesota when mm-hmm. I was 13 years old. And I had a very real coming to faith. And I asked the Lord into my heart and on the steps of this little cabin, and it was authentic, and I meant it, and it changed my life. It wasn't, you know, lightning didn't strike. I didn't float. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I look back, it was a very genuine moment. Right. And the Lord appreciates those. Right. I mean, I know there's some very dramatic, you know, moments that certain people have.
Yes.
That wasn't mine at the time. Okay. But it was great. And I remember I get home, back from, church camp, and we were going into church, I think the following Sunday, and I'm walking along, and there was this friend of our family, and her name was Joni, and she, you know, she was the little just firecracker that, you know, had her Bible under her arm, you know, running into church. And my mom says, Ben, tell Joni what happened this weekend. And so I was kind of proud, right? A young guy. It's almost like first communion or something, like you're going to get $5 or something. And so I said, well, Joni, I gave my life to Christ. And I still remember this. It struck me. And she really didn't even break stride. She goes, great, you did the easy part. And I remember, and I don't say that mean. I mean, it was a very powerful moment to me that mm-hmm. struck me, because there's some truth to that. Mm-hmm. Are we going to live this thing out? Mm-hmm. Right? It's, you know, the old, it's easy to die, but are you willing to live kind of a thing? And so, as I was, I say this, so it was kind of that was how I met the Lord. All right. Pretty simple. I've always had appreciation for Young Life since then. Right. And just getting people to these camps and speaking into them. So I'm training for the, boxing and athletics was a big part of my life, a pretty healthy kid. Right. And what happened is, the way it works in boxing, the top four in the U.S. then have the box offs. Okay, so the Olympic Training Center for boxing is in Colorado Springs. So I'm training, and I get sick. I'm starting to have these digestive issues. Okay, I don't really know what to do. I don't understand healing like we're talking about here, and so I go to the doctor, and they do where they send a scope. You know, a GI, upper and lower GI. So they go down there and they go up there. And I remember them showing me the pictures when I woke up, and it was all these like bleeding sores throughout my digestive system. And they call them, I had hundreds of them, precancerous lesions all throughout my digestive system. And I said, well, what do I do? You know, again, not having a real understanding of you know, body's ability to heal or anything. And they said, well, you take these medications. And I said, okay, how long? And they said, forever. So I began, I didn't know what to do. I take them. And
how old were you?
Yeah. So then I'm right around 18, 19.
Okay.
And I began to take the medications. And what happens is they shut down my digestive system.
Oh.
Okay. And so I went from 165 pounds, 170 pounds to 245 pounds. And I, you know, I essentially get, you know, removed from the Olympic training program because you can't make weight. I mean, there's weight classes in boxing and I wasn't qualified as a super heavyweight. And so, you know, I kind of left the hometown hero and I come home, excuse my language, but, you know, kind of sick, fat and depressed. So I struggled like that for 3.5 years. Mm. Took the drugs every single day, still having horrible symptoms, getting worse, breaking out, side effects of the medications. I'd go in about every 6 months and get my scans redone, and they were getting worse or staying the same. Nothing was getting better. And then after that, you know, ironically, you know, Mike, even though I had that experience as a little baby with chiropractic and probably had gone a few times up between there when, you know, boxing or sports and get adjusted, nobody had really ever explained to me how God designed our bodies. Okay. And so I happened to meet a chiropractor that did that. And this is just how the story went. I went in, he analyzed me specifically, did the different tests that actually same tests I use in my office. And he found out I had pressure coming out of the nerves that went to my digestive system, out of my spine. And the first week he started adjusting me, I got off the drugs I'd been on for 3.5 years.
Hmm.
I lost 67 pounds in 4 months, changed my life.
Wow.
I went back in and got scans redone. My lesions were completely healed. It's amazing, but it's not a miracle. The body is designed to heal. The power that God put inside of your body is the greatest healing power that we have. The greatest mm-hmm. physician doesn't live in a hospital or a clinic somewhere. He lives inside of you. And I had this moment where I realized, so there's a summation here of what happened with my faith. So this happens to me. And I'm so grateful. Come to find out, one of the drugs I was on now has been pulled from the market because it killed 33,000 people a year.
Oh my.
I may not even be here to tell the story. So I go to chiropractic school. And one of the first things you do in chiropractic school is, you know, it's med school for all intents and purposes. I mean, you do all the stuff and cadaver labs, right? So human, you know, people that have donated their body to science. You go in and actually at the time for me, that was kind of uncomfortable. I'd always not been my thing. You know, I don't know too many people enjoy that, but mm-hmm. it was kind of heavy. So I remember going in there and our cadaver that we had been able to use was this elderly woman that had passed away. And I remember, and again, for the listeners, sorry for the heaviness here, but you know, you open up the body, obviously you're dissecting mm. it. And I'm telling you, when I saw the inside of the human body like that, not textbooks, not, you know, mm-hmm. pictures or whatever, standing over that woman's body and seeing the intricacy of the design of the body in that moment, I say this, I came to Christ again. I mean, it was like I understood in that moment, I am not the doctor. Mm-hmm. There's a physician. His name is not Ben Rawl.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a healer. Our greatest job is to honor this,
mm-hmm.
to steward it, to care for it. Okay. And that's one thing, even into this COVID conversation that we've lost, almost virtually none of the conversation is how to care for yourself outside of lock yourself away. Mm-hmm. Okay. And wait for a vaccine or a drug. Virtually no conversation about wellness. We know that a lot of the people that have passed away have had comorbidities. Those comorbidities are lifestyle related, yet nobody is really talking about it,
mm-hmm.
right? And so here I sat, I have this experience, and I realized in that moment, and I just got called to say, man, my job is to not to be the healer, but to teach people who the healer is. And very early in my career, I had this moment, and the Lord spoke to me, and that might be a lot for some people to hear, but the Lord Lord said, listen, Ben, you talk a lot about healing, but you need to talk about the healer. And I made a declaration at that moment that anytime I'm talking about healing, whether it's on a radio show or in my office or with a patient, I say, listen, first and foremost, you need to know who the healer is. If I was a farmer, I don't grow the carrot. God grows the carrot. Mm-hmm. Right? I might pick it out of the dirt or plant the seed, but he does the growing.
That's right.
And so when I had that moment, now listen, this is unpopular for a lot of people because it takes away the pride and the ego of this, right? That mm-hmm. the doctor knows everything. Right? Do what I say. You've even seen kickback from the kind of the traditional medicine, which is they don't like to be questioned. Yeah. They don't like to be, don't question my authority. Don't ask, you know, don't question if I should give you this drug. Don't ask me about alternatives. And I said, to me, it's the complete opposite. I'm your teammate. My job is to teach you who the healer is and then to help you understand what, you know, interferences might be going on there or what things your body might need. It's an oversimplification, Mike, but it's, to me, it's much like a plant. Now, we're not plants, okay? But, mm-hmm. You know, a plant, let's just say, you know, we live in sunny Florida, of course, but let's just say that a plant doesn't have, you know, you go out of town for a few days and you forgot to water it. So you come home and the leaves are drooping. You know, you're gonna know, you know, you wouldn't just put some sticks under the leaves and paint them green and say, we fixed the plant, right? Right. It sounds ridiculous. You're going to say, wow, I maybe need some water, put it by the window. And let's just say you do that. Let's say it needed some water. So you give it some water and it starts to perk up. You're probably not going to call Channel 6 and say, hey, you have to come to my house. We've had a resurrection, right? This plant came back to life. The plant's designed. It just needed those things. What we've mm-hmm. done so much in our world, Mike, is in particularly the U.S., is we destroy our bodies. We poison them purposely or unknowingly. We don't give them, quote, water. Okay? We're living in the fast lane. We're living on, you know, cocoa puffs and donuts and whatever. And then we, quote, get sick and we say, what? God, heal me.
What a surprise. I'm sick. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like hitting my thumb with a hammer and then wondering why it hurts and then taking some pills so I don't feel it. Keep hitting with the hammer and then blaming God. That's ridiculous. 90% of the diseases we have in this country are diseases of mm-hmm. lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Yet the church often doesn't talk about this. Mm. They're afraid to talk about it because they don't want to sound, and it's ridiculous to me. It's unfortunate how little I hear the church talk about healing anymore. Mm-hmm. Yet 5/6 of Christ's ministry was healing. Mm-hmm. Most of his miracles were miracles of healing. Mm. He had something to say about that. And if you don't believe me and you don't know if your body's designed to heal, I'm telling you, if your heart just beat again and you just took one more breath, and by the way, no pills doing that, no doctors doing that, the power that God put inside of you is doing that. So when I had this epiphany and when the Lord spoke to me and I went into healthcare, it is my ministry, right? And I think the Lord speaks to us in different ways mm-hmm. for me to go through my own healing event. To be restored and healed, and now I've worked with, you know, 13,000 patients in my career and watch miracles happen in my, not miracles, but things that people would call miracles, you know, mm-hmm. people healing. It's just, obviously I'm passionate about it. You can probably tell.
No, you're kidding me. This is great. If you've just tuned in, you're wondering who is this passionate person. It's Dr. Ben Rawl, and Dr. Ben Rawl is a resident of Central Florida and originally from South Dakota, came to the Lord in those ways. And boy, I mean, just the whole thing that you're talking about, this is bringing to life that verse that we hear so often quoted. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And boy, those are two words that seemingly go different directions because when you think of fearfully, that usually brings a sense of caution or a sense of, well, fear. I mean, just think about just using the root word. We are not to be afraid of that, and yet it is with a sense of awe that we do look at the wonder of the way God created us. And how in the world, Ben, can we as a nation now have gone, a nation that started off with at least a robust declared belief, one nation under God, and it's not just any God, it's not all gods, it's the God, the one God, and now we live in a time where we are almost hearing science now on a daily basis. You mentioned this earlier, the science of it. We're hearing people who are doctors and sometimes politicians using the word, we got to trust the science. That's the phrase that I hear over and over. And I'm thinking, I want to trust God.
I mean, Mike, you bring up I just wish everybody would ask these questions. We have absolutely in this nation have a different religion called the science religion, mm-hmm. right? There is, we have absolutely put more faith in many places. And it is by all ways you would describe a religion, science is become a religion. And
without a doubt,
bad situation. Okay. Science has a role. Okay. But science is not religion. And I mean religion in the relationship with Christ way, right? In that version. However, here's just a few things I would want to share with listeners as food for thought. So when we look at healthcare, the United States of America, I used to say we were 5% of the population. Now we're closer to 4% of the population. Okay. So when you think of a big pie chart, you know, we're just a little fraction of that. Mm-hmm. Yet we consume, the statistics vary, but we consume about between 60 to 70% of all the medications in the world. That's quite odd. If you think about that math. Okay. So then logic would say, okay, if we consume the most of those and that's what we need to be well, then we should be like number one in healthcare. We're currently ranked 33rd in longevity. We have the worst infant mortality and maternal mortality rates in the industrialized world. Overall, our health is ranked 38th. There's 37 countries above it, probably ones you wouldn't even name or believe. We spend the most by far. It's the third year in a row our life expectancy has gone down. It's the first generation where our children are expected to die younger than their parents. You have to reconcile this. You have to understand what's happening here, okay? It's not working. And if you think that the victory is going to be the next breakthrough drug, please wake up, okay? Steward the body that God gave you. Give it what it needs. The body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Our bodies are created in the likeness and image of God. He knows the hairs on your head. He knit you together in his mother's womb. The scientists out of Baylor University say we know less than 1% about the workings of the human body. Think about this. In all the scientists, in all of human history, all of the zillions of dollars spent, they've never made one single living cell. Mm-hmm. They can, you know, manipulate them and they can clone, right? But they can't build one, parts and pieces, and then go, okay, life. That's the job of God. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, here's why this matters. Because in the 20 minutes you've been listening to this show, the power that God put inside your body has made millions. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to I think you brought it up earlier, where am I going to put my faith? That power. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put my faith in that power. Okay. And that is a thing we have been, it's almost happened insidiously, right? Where we bought into the model. We stopped asking questions. We trusted, right? We said, hey, that would never happen. They would never, the FDA would never, the CDC would never. We know that not to be true. The pharmaceutical industries are the most sued, the most find companies in the world. They've paid out to the tune of over $25 billion in fines. Vioxx is on the court stand, says that they knew they killed between 60 and 120,000 people with Vioxx, a pain pill, okay, a COX-2 inhibitor, killed that many people. They knew about it, they admitted it, and they hid it, okay? That could pull from the market. Opioids have killed more people than killed in the wars. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
We could stop it tomorrow, yeah. Mike. Yeah. People say, how do you stop the epidemic? Stop making it.
Yeah.
And so we've got to, I know this is, I sat on an airplane next to a pharmacist probably a year ago now, and we were just talking, and she said, I've recently left pharmacy. She was from West Virginia. And I said, what's up? She goes, well, the number one drug I'm prescribing, now you probably know West Virginia's had a lot of opioid issues, mm-hmm. right? The number one drug my pharmacy is prescribing is for opioid addicted babies.
Oh, that's sad.
And she said, I can't do it. This isn't what I got into this for. And Mike, I think when I meet different doctors, you know, natural doctors, you know, typical doctors, a lot of them all had this desire to get in and help people. That's what you hear. Right. Yeah. But then the powers that be and the control. I have a brother-in-law who's the president of a hospital system. Right. I mean, there's a lot of constraints and pressures they have. And that's why being a chiropractor and an independent, you know, I can treat my patients the way that they should be treated. I don't have those pressures. OK. And so, this is where we sit. Right.
Well, you know, you made the statement, Ben, that is so true that the people are needing to put their faith not only not in science but into the Lord.
Yeah.
But the trouble we have today is that so many people, especially young people, so many of our colleges have really just given over to the teaching that there is no God. There is no God. That's a fallacy. That's just a story that's not true. And we have generations now, a couple of generations, that's grown up in a very liberal system of education. And we've, you know, we well-meaning parents have just, I believe, not realized the impact that that's having on our kids. But we've got now generations, a couple of generations of people who doubt that, or who don't even know about that. That's what's even more scary, is the fact that many of them have no idea at all about the fact that what these words that you've spoken, fearfully and wonderfully made, that we were made by a creator, that's just not even in their mindset.
You know, I appreciate it. And I sometimes put a different hat on for a second, only to connect. I think of Paul sometimes when he says, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but I'll do anything outside of sinning, right, to win someone for the Lord, right? The secular word for, you know, God's healing power, the secular word for that is homeostasis, okay? Homeostasis is the reason you and I can sit in this room of 72 degrees, yet our body temperature is 98.6. The power in the body's natural design, innate design, is doing that. We have about 70 trillion cells in our body, okay, that all somehow communicate. That even in the most, a matter of fact, there's the National Institute of Health director is a gentleman by the name of Francis Collins. Francis Collins wrote a book called The Language of God. Francis Collins believes in Jesus, all right? He knows the Lord. He tells stories in his book. I've read his book. Now, we don't agree on everything in certain ways, but there's a lot of scientists and doctors, right, that have a very, now that doesn't get the airtime, or that doesn't get, to your point, that doesn't get the pulpit or the lecturing, you know, at some of these universities.
Right.
However, what we speak of, what I'm speaking of, is very scientific. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's just, we may use sometimes different words, but most people have just, frankly, what I've found, Mike, have not really thought about it much. Right. What happens is, because the body is so amazing, that, again, I need to rephrase, the way that God designed our bodies is so amazing, we take them for granted.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me a lot of, like, you know, even in the Bible, where, you know, sometimes God will hand us over to our sin. He hands us over to the life. He gives us free will. And so we can make some choices. And we will suffer the consequences of those. But there's a season where you think you're getting away with it. Right, I may start smoking some cigarettes. That doesn't mean I get lung cancer by the end of the day. But do that long enough, over enough time, and there's a chances are that that happens, or increased odds. And so what happens is, it allows us, that mindset you said, Mike, allows us to have so much pride, right? Because we can go, we think we're our own gods, and we can get away with that lie because there's often not immediate ramifications that you can see.
That's well said.
You know,
that's well said. And you know, we live as if there is no need for a Savior. We live as if we are able to make it on our own. And the historical truth is that that never has worked, and it doesn't work, and we'll never qualify. We're never going to be able to meet that standard that God has given us for salvation, which is perfection.
So I want to share one last kind of study for you that was impactful for me. And I use these as kind of, not counter arguments, but to some of the points that you bring up. So there was a study done in the Journal of the American Medical Association, which would be considered a top three journal, right? There's New England Journal of Medicine, JAMA is this one. And it was done in 2009. And the author was, one of the authors, a last name, Kilo, K-I-L-O. And here's what they did. That's the heading of the title of the article. So there was an MD and a master's in public health. And what they were studying was the harmful effects of healthcare. That was the heading. Okay. So they just wanted to know, we all know that certain people die taking it, right? Drug and interactions. And we understand that that happens. And of course we would desire it to happen never and things like that. But so they added everything up, and I'm going to paraphrase the quote. I don't have it sitting in front of me. If I did, I would read it to you. They said, we need to be aware that it's likely that healthcare causes a net negative. So the $4 trillion we spend on, quote, healthcare, all the drugs, all the hospitals, all the vaccines, all of this, when you add it all up, it's a net harm. Like, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
Now, the reason I bring that up is because if our belief is we're going to figure this out, we're going to figure out the human body. If for me to grow some corn in my garden or a pepper, I don't have to know everything about the pepper. I don't have to know anything. I just have to know, get it in the sun, give it some water, how to care for it. But we have lost that, and our pride has got in the way, and we think we can figure out. We're not. The creation is never going to figure out the creator.
That's
He's above us. We need. It's a fool's game. Our focus needs to not be on figuring it all out, but rather honoring and stewarding. And if we do that, and we understand that, we'll save trillions of dollars on healthcare, and we'll be vibrantly more healthy because of that. We're all going to go home. We're all going to meet our maker.
Yep, we are.
That's not about living forever.
Yeah.
This is not the conversation. I'm not here to tell you I'm going to cure all your... No way, Jose. That's not the point of the conversation. It is to steward what God gave us. He's all given us a measure of faith, and he knows the hairs on hairs. He knows our days. And our job is to care for those ones that he's given us.
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Ben Rawl is my guest today. We've got one more segment coming up. This has been just a very exciting conversation. Hope you're enjoying it as much as I. We'll be back in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. In the studio today with Dr. Ben Rawl, and what a time this has been. I tell you, you brought up so many really deep points to think about, and the whole discussion. I know a lot of people who have heard this. I really encourage you, friends, to tomorrow, download this from our podcast, which is available on Apple iTunes or Google Podcasts or Spotify, and share this episode with Dr. Ben Rawl, R-A-L-L. Share this with people that really come to your mind that say, I need to get this to my Uncle Betty, my Aunt Betty or my Uncle Charlie. I need to get this to them because of the fact that there are people that need to hear this, because I believe that Ben has not only given some direct, I think very good cautions to ways of thinking that are just downright dangerous, friends, downright dangerous when we are hearing reports, when we're hearing things out of people. I'm often just amazed and surprised and bewildered all at the same time about how some politicians are reelected to their posts because of the preposterous, not only things that they say, but the laws that they work on. I just don't get it. So there's a lot that's out there that we have to say, let's go back to the root here. And the root is what Ben said earlier. We have a God who is a better creator, a better savior, a better doctor, a better physician than we can ever think or imagine. And he's given us already a great deal of ability for our bodies. You know, I had one doctor tell me one time, he said, what other machine could you let that machine just kind of go on its own for 100 years or 90 years or even 70 years and take bad care of itself, never feed it with oil, never do the right things, and that body, for the most part, will continue right on.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
I love it. I mean, I you know, and I know we ride this line, you know, often, even when I'm with patients, I have this fine line between I see, you know, tests reveal things, right? And when taking x-rays, I mean, I've seen bad things, and we have to have those conversations, but that's always tempered with hope and truth, because yes, we talked about some heavy topics, but let us not miss what you just, I think, described. This sometimes I use the description, you know, living in Florida with all the beaches, you just, you know, sometimes you're on the beach and you just, I think about all the grains of sand, and I think that to me is just an example of God's just majesty, okay? And so I think, okay, I forgive the example because he's infinite, but if all the grains of sand in all of the world, that's God's infinite wisdom and intelligence and whatever word we could describe. And then pick up one of those grains of sand, and that's man's.
Mm.
wisdom.
In comparison.
Okay. So when I think about, as an example, you know, again, the metaphor, you know, putting a pill in my hand and thinking that has more intelligence about my body than the God that created it, I have to pause. I do have to pause. And you thinking about these times that we've been in and COVID and all of this, the word that I think a lot of us have fallen into, even believers, is fear. And I don't know if this is entirely theologically correct, but I heard it stated that fear not is in the Bible 365 times.
Mm.
And that's interesting, right? Yeah. One for each day that we are reminded, right? My scripture the other morning was Romans 12, 2, by the renewing of our mind, that we would not conform to the ways of the world, but we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's something that we would need to do daily, right? And so if you're waking up and you're getting more, spending more time with, you know, the news station than you are with your Lord, then we have a problem, okay? It's not, it's going to affect us. We've seen this happen with social media and the, right? Just in all of our lifetimes, we've seen this happen. He says, guard your mind, guard your hearts. Be careful what you put in there because it will affect you. What are you seeding yourself? So very, in a very physical, if I'm living on ho-hos and cigarettes, it's going to impact my health. If I'm feeding my brain fear and, you know, how many people got infected today or, I, you know, whatever we're looking, we need to be careful. And so reminding ourselves that somehow when I lay down, he says he watches over us while we sleep.
Yes.
To think that, to your point, it so boggles me that every night we lay down, I get emotional. And I close my eyes and he keeps my heart beating and breathing my lungs. It's like, what?
Yeah, you're talking about Psalm 3 there. I mean, this is truly the Lord who, he says, I lay myself down. It starts off, the psalmist is saying, many are they that say of my soul, there is no help for me. But thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. And I love this verse. It says, I lay myself down and I sleep and I awake, for the Lord has sustained me.
And he does such an incredible job of it that he allows us to take it for granted and ignore it and get prideful about it. And so for many of us, this needs to be a repositioning. You know, things can become idols in our lives and we don't even realize it. Health care, we can put that above God, right? We've done this in different areas of our lives. And so the call to our listeners is hopefully a call of encouragement, a call of reminding them that they are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Mm-hmm.
He is beyond anything that we could imagine, right?
Right.
And you should be encouraged by that.
Mm.
It should calm you. It should help you know he's the good shepherd. He's the great physician, right? These are all so important, but that's not getting the airtime. So we need to make sure we're getting it.
We have to get it, and I'm so glad that you have given it to us today. This is Dr. Ben Rawl. Thank you for being with me today.
Absolutely.
We're going to have you back, my friend. This is way too great. The time went way too fast. And friends, thank you for being with us today. Give us your website real quick.
My clinic is achievewellness.clinic, and we also have a podcast.
Wonderful.
If that's of interest.
Absolutely.
To the listeners.
Give it so the it's information.
Called, interesting. It's called Designed to Heal. And we've done that for quite a while now. And we talk about this stuff as well, or these types of topics, and have other guests on there as well. And that's on all of the same platforms that you described. So called Designed to Heal.
Designed to Heal. Dr. Ben Rawl. Thank you so much. Friends, we'll see you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.